and we're going to talk about the battle is in the mind. The battle starts with the mind. And when we look at the Word of God and what it promises, as Jennifer was talking, that His Word will not return void. So when I am talking to someone who maybe doesn't know the Lord, who maybe thinks they know the Lord but has a different religion, but maybe has a knowledge of God but does not know Him, and the Bible talks about that. They had a knowledge of God, but Jesus is standing there right in front of the Pharisees, the religious people, and yet they did not know who He was. And they looked right past Him and said, "You cannot possibly be the Messiah. You're from Nazareth. You hang out with winebibbers and sinners." And it just didn't fit their idea. And this is what we struggle against, and this is what man struggles against, is their idea of what God looks like. And so we all kind of have, we spin the God of the Bible to make Him more appealing to us, more in agreement with us. And so we get very dangerous when we start taking things out of context and grabbing over here and grabbing over there. We make up our own man doctrine, and then it turns out it's not anywhere near what Jesus said or what God intended for us to hear. So I always tell people, read the Word of God. Anytime I'm talking to a Mormon, anytime I'm talking to a Jehovah's Witness, anytime I'm talking to anybody, I just say, listen, there's no knowledge outside the knowledge of Him. So if you don't know your Bible, you are going to err. If you don't know your Bible, you're going to fall for some other false scripture or some other man doctrine. How many people follow the Kenneth Copelands, the Kenneth Hagins, the people in the world that get up there and start blah, 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 you know, making up their own prayer language and stuff that is not of God. But yet people fall for that because they're not grounded in the Word of God. So when Jennifer said she started reading her Bible, it starts right there. It starts with getting in. And this is the last book the enemy wants you to pick up. The very last book. And I've struggled all my life. I've struggled all my life even picking it up. I read in this Bible every day. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning is open this book. Is open this Bible. And because I know during the day what's going to come against me. Well, I'll read later. Tonight, when everything, I got it. And tonight becomes 10, 10:30. And oh, I'm tired. And no, I missed it. So I start my day off with the bread. With my daily bread. And that's the Word of God. And I encourage you to do the same thing. So we're talking about today the renewed mind. Does everybody know that if you're a believer, you have a new mindset? Is everybody aware of that? We're, in the words of the world, we're not the same. We don't think the same. We don't have the same morals, values. We don't have the same blessings, favor. We don't have the same God. There's nothing about us that's the same. Because we have the mindset of Christ, the world does not. So we're going to talk about how the renewed mind today. The question always arises, are we transformed? Because we're going to go into chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So are we transformed or are we being transformed? And it's a big question. Because if we're being transformed, that means we're in a process. If we're already transformed, that means we can walk in what we already have. And I want to show you today where my opinion is we are already transformed. It's done. Now we just grow in the knowledge and grace of Him. For case in point, when I first became a Christian, when I first realized my need for a Savior, and we always talk about this and we kind of, it's kind of something we say, have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? How many times have we heard that? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? That's not even in the Bible. Have you believed on the Son of God? Have you believed on His name? Now have you asked Him, have you believed? And so yes, we can all sit here and say, yes, I have called upon His name. I have believed in His name. And therefore, I have a new mindset. And we're going to go into this. But if we could figure out how to the battle, how to conquer that battle of the mind against the flesh. You know, I could be a million-dollar preacher, and I could put that in a little bottle, and I could give it to you guys, and y'all would go out and just be perfect every day, right? Well, the amazing thing is God sees us that way anyway. We don't see ourselves that way because we see our shortcomings. We see our faults. We see our sins. They're like ever before us, and the devil's sitting there going, ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha. You think you're righteous. You think you're blameless. You think you're holy. Well, that's what the Bible tells me. Okay, so something must have happened where all my sins were forgiven and taken away so that he remembers them no more. So yeah, I am righteous and holy and blameless, even though I struggle. And this is the million-dollar question that we're all trying to figure out. And Paul is trying to figure it out. And, you know, questions like, if I fall, if I fail at one of the processes, let's say transformation is a process and we go with that. What if I get to a certain point in the process and then I get stuck? I just can't get past the next thing. Or what if I fail? Do I have to start all the way back over, or can I just pick up where I left off? And so we get into this performance-based religion. The alternative is to realize that you've already been transformed. So the battle is for the mind. The battle is for the mind. Now, once you're a believer, that battle's over. You're transformed. You've been transformed by the renewing of the mind because Christ has given you a new mind. That battle's over. But the battle that continues is between the flesh and the mind. And so we have the mind of Christ, but that battle's always going to be there. And it's usually going to be, what do you think about the most? What do you dwell on the most? You know, these kind of issues come up, negative thoughts, all this stuff comes up, and it's like there's gurus out there that get paid millions of dollars a year to help you go find yourself. And the thing about it is I said this before, I found myself one time and it wasn't pretty. Okay, so then I found the Lord and that was beautiful. Okay, so the battle is always going to be in our mind. We're going to think about things. We're going to look at something and say, and then the mind, the deception comes in, the doubt comes in, and the devil says, did God not say? God, that fruit looks really good. Did God not say? And he starts that battle for your mind, and oftentimes we lose that. But I want to go to Romans 12. And we'll start out here. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, and we all know this passage. I know people that have this tattooed on their body. You know, this scripture, exactly. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God. We could do a whole sermon on the mercies of God. And Jennifer, I'm sure you're talking to your friend yesterday. She was telling you all about the mercies of God. You know, what do we deserve? Death and distress. That's what we deserve. Death and destruction and annihilation. What is the mercy of God? I'm going to give you life, and I'm going to give it to you more abundantly. I'm going to give it to you even though you don't deserve it, because that's just the way I am. I'm a good father. But I didn't earn it. No, you didn't have to. You're just mine. I'm just going to give it to you. You know, I joke about the little boy at home, Rocket Man, and I call my little schnauzer, and she says, why do you treat him so special? I said, because he's the heir to the throne. I said, when I die, he's going to be it. He's the little puppy. He's the heir to the throne. I joke with Maria about it, but I'll give him everything I got. Right? For my son, I'm sure you would do for your daughters and your kids. You will give them everything you have because they're yours. So I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, what does that even mean? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice is kind of a dichotomy, right? A sacrifice, when you make a sacrifice, something usually has to die. Okay? Or you have to give up something when you make a sacrifice. That's what a sacrifice is. I'm going to give up something for something else. And the ultimate sacrifice, of course, God giving up his own son to bring us back into union with him, into reunion with him. And so a living sacrifice is basically that. We're we're living, but God has provided the sacrifice, so we're holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true worship. And we're going to talk about this in a minute, where the head goes, the body follows. This is a concept I want to talk to you about, but it says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So you see that transformation of the mind allows you to determine what is God's will? What is his purpose? What is pleasing to him? Because without that transformation, we wouldn't know. We would not know what was good and evil. And so we give up walking in darkness to walk in light. And I put here, the battle starts in the mind. You see it, you want it. It makes you feel good. You want more of it. Now we think differently as believers because our mind has been renewed. So where the head goes, the body follows. This is a concept that we teach in PT, in tactics at Fletsy. We'll have an individual that's maybe sitting in a vehicle that doesn't want to come out. And we'll grab their head and twist it, and their body will come right with it. Or somebody's maybe choking you, and you reach up and you grab their head and you turn it, and wherever you take that head, the body goes with it. And that's the physical kind of metaphor of it. But think about it, where the head goes, where your mind goes, is what you're going to do next. So you let your mind go there. Your mind thinks about it, that battle. You're waging that battle, and you're saying, okay, here's my flesh over here. Here's the mind of Christ. And you have that struggle. And we as believers struggle. If we didn't struggle, I would worry about you. If you could just go around and do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, and didn't worry about it and didn't think, oh God, is this pleasing or not? I would worry about you. But we have that. The mind of the love of Christ controls us. So it's a cop where I talk about it, it's a cop out to say I'm in progress. Remember the old Christian bumper stickers? I'm not perfect, just forgiven. I'm like, hold on a second. I kind of like that. But then I think, wait, hold on a second. That's kind of a cop out because I am perfect because God has made me perfect. You know, so I am forgiven and I am perfect. And we don't think of ourselves that way. We think of ourselves still flawed and still having two natures. And I'm going to show you in a minute, we don't. We don't still have two natures, even though we wage. We're not in a process as if God is somehow, now listen to this, in love with a future version of you. Okay? We tend to think, okay, well, if I read my Bible more, and if I pray more, and if I do more good things, God will love me more. You know, he doesn't love me now. He's in love with a future version of me. And so he's working on me. And in reality, no, you have everything you need. He's equipped us with all spiritual gifts, all spiritual blessings now. We just don't walk in them. We just don't understand who we are. We don't understand we are a child of the King, the God Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the Most High. And we tend to walk around thinking of ourselves as, I don't know who I am. We absolutely know who we are. We're a child of the King. And so the renewed mind is we have the mindset of the Spirit. It talks about in Romans 8:6. Now the mindset of the flesh is what? Death. The mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. We don't have both. We have the mindset of the Spirit, so we have life and peace, even if we don't walk in it, even if we allow our circumstances to take away our peace or to make us gloom and doom and go into depression. And do Christians go into depression? Absolutely they do, because they don't remember who they are and where they're going and the promises of what God has for them. And you start thinking inwardly, and we're going to talk about this in a second. We're one mind with him. The renewed mind is Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way. There's your renewed mind. Thinking the same way, having the same mindset, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And that's to glorify the Lord God Almighty. The renewed mind versus the conflicted mind. I use this two dogs illustration. Some of you guys probably heard this before. Some of you probably haven't. But there's an old story. And I looked up the origin of it, and I couldn't find out who originally told this story. So it's could be Native American lore or something like that. It could be anything. But guy had two dogs. He had a good dog, and he had a bad dog. And he was telling his neighbor about it. He says, I've got two dogs. I've got one good dog, and I've got one bad dog. And there is a problem arises every now and then. They get into a fight. And the guy asks him, he says, well, which one wins? And he says, the one I feed. And I thought, you think about it, the one I feed. Or you can say, the one I feed the most. So if I feed that bad dog, he wins. If I feed that good dog, he wins. And that's an illustration that's been used for years. One is an angry dog, one's a friendly dog. Having two, but the two natures and trying to put that together in who we are. But my opinion is we don't have two natures, and that's not biblical. We know in Romans 6:6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is free from sin. Now, how can we say that? How can we say, oh, you're free from sin? Well, what does the word say? He has taken away your sins. He remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You are free from sin. Even if you go out tonight and murder somebody, you're forgiven. And you're still free from sin. And people go, oh, Chuck, that's too much. That can't be. What sin is greater than the blood of Christ? The only unpardonable sin, we already know what that is, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Pharisees did. They attributed Jesus' miracles to the work of Beelzebub, the head of the demons. That is called blasphemy. You're looking at the Lord God Almighty and contributing his healings to a demon, you have just blasphemed. And so we don't have two natures. We don't have a sinful nature and a righteous nature. We are righteous. Do we struggle? Yes. But the sin, if we still had sin, we would not be forgiven. So we can't be 50% forgiven, 50% saved. It's 100% righteous. The old crucified, it says right here, we have, the old self has been crucified with him. And we are freed from sin. And that's the news of the gospel. That's the reason Jesus came. That's the good news. And it's hard to digest that because we still want to think, I'm a sinner. You were a sinner. You believed. Now you're righteous. The mind is renewed but struggles with the flesh. Romans talks about this, and I found the best commentary for Romans 12 is Romans 7. And the best commentary for Romans 11 is like Romans 6. And it's just like anything else. The Bible is the best commentary for the Bible. Romans happens to be the best commentary for Romans. Because Paul goes through and explains pretty much everything. And he talks about what a wretched man I am. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of what? Death. We have a body that's going to die. We're all going to die. And who's going to rescue me from this body? Thanks be to God through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, how Paul wrestled with this. And he mainly wrestled with looking at, every time he would look at the Ten Commandments, he would be indicted. Every time he would look at one of the 613 commandments, he would be like, oh man, I can't do all that. And he would, and it would convict him of his sin. And so he would always say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the only way we're going to make it. So the renewed mind, 1 Corinthians 2:16, this is why we can see good and the world can't. We can determine what's evil, the world can't. For who has not known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This does not mean we're always going to be thinking perfectly, but it means we are blessed to know him, to know his ways, and to seek to please him in those ways. So we know who he is. We know his love for us, his grace and his mercies. We have that mindset. We have the mind of Christ that we're going to live for eternity and all the promises that he has given us. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. New mind, new creation. This is not a process. It's interesting that when Jesus went around healing people, how long did it take for him to heal somebody? Instant. Now, if you go to some of the faith healers Google pages, and you can try this, go to Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or some of these Benny Hinn guys, some of these false teachers, go to their web pages and look what they say. Oh, Jesus didn't always heal instantly. He had to lay hands twice on one person. Whoop, whoop. It was immediate. Oh, he didn't always heal people. He told the guy to go wash in the pool, put mud on his eyes and told him to go wash. It was a process. And they say that because they are false healers. And because they get up every day and try to convince somebody they're healing someone and they're not getting up and walking out of their wheelchair. Okay. The ultimate healing is what? Our spiritual healing that we already have. And if you think about it, we're 100% healed because we were rotten to the core before Christ. But it's interesting that Jesus healed, well, every time he healed, it was instant. Stretch out your hand. They lowered the guy down in the basket in front of him through the rooftop. The guy didn't even ask forgiveness. And God looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. And it infuriated the Pharisees. How can he do this? And so we're a new creation. The old has passed away. The new's come. This is who we are. I'm going to go over real quick about the mindset trap. Believers can still get caught in this trap. And this is something we need to guard against. And Satan knows he can't have your soul. So what's he going to do? Mess with your head. He knows you're saved. He knows where you're going. He knows the promises of God. He knows the truth. But he's still going to go to your mind and put doubt in your mind. And make you doubt and make you think twice and make you stumble. And when you stumble, point the finger at you and say, see, if you really loved the Lord, you wouldn't have done what you did. See, if you'd really loved the Lord, you would have listened to his voice and you would have done this. And all the accusations come. So we got to be careful not to get caught in this mindset trap. And it's the inward mindset. The inward mindset is towards yourself. Listen to some of these questions, and I just jotted these down, kind of just made up a few. How am I doing today? What am I looking at? How am I? I'm looking inward. Let's see. How's my walk? You ever had somebody come up to you? Hey, how's your walk, Bill? How's your walk? And he kind of puts you on the spot, and you're like, oh, well, I don't know. Some days good, some days bad. You know? And then how's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? Or how's my quiet time? You know, it's funny that we in America invented this thing called quiet time. Who invented that? I mean, quiet time is Jesus going out in the early morning hours into the desert to pray to his Father. There's your quiet time. You know, but we got to have quiet time. And it's got to be 30 minutes. It can't be 29. And you don't have to go 31. If you go 31, that's extra points, Joe. But 30 minutes has to be required minimum to be a good Christian. 30 minutes quiet time alone with the Lord, just your Bible. How's your quiet time? How's my attitude? Whoo, don't let me go get out on the highway. Don't let me go get out on the road. Don't let me go shopping in the new Smiths with everybody up and around me. How's your attitude, Maria? How's my love for others? Ooh. Ooh. How am I doing there? What day is it? How's my giving? Oh, that hurts. Well, you don't have to give to be a Christian, Chuck. How's your giving? How's my selflessness? We're in that inward mindset. Look at the outward mindset towards God. How's God doing today? How's his walk? How's his prayer life? How's God's quiet time? How's God's attitude? How's God's love for others? How is God's giving? And how is God's selflessness? Perfect. You want to be perfect? You believe in him. We can't be unless we believe in him. And then it's attributed to us just like we were. That's amazing to me. That I can have a rotten, stinking attitude and have disregard for everybody around me and don't do my 30-minute quiet time, only do 2 minutes or skip it. And God's still sitting there going, you're righteous and you're holy and you're blameless because you're mine. That's the only reason, because you're mine. And I made you that way. My son made you that way. So Ephesians 4 says to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. Who's the master of deception? Satan. What does the Bible say? He masquerades as an angel of light. And I love talking to the religious people. I tell them, I don't have a religion. They, oh, you're a pastor. You're very religious. I said, I don't have a religious bone in my body. And neither did Jesus. I believe in the Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. I love him and I seek him only. I don't seek the ways of man, the ways you guys do your things and have your traditions and do your things. And the old self is deceitful and Satan masquerades as that angel of light. And I tell the religious people, I said, you know, you guys look good. Y'all look really good on the outside. But Jesus warns you, says you're like whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones. So if you open up that beautiful tomb, you're going to see the rotten, stinking self that you are. Not so with us. Not so with us. They take the mask off of us. We're white as can be. We're lily white. Jesus made us that way. And it's amazing. To be renewed in the spirit of your what? Minds. The battle's in the mind. To put on the new self. The one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. So Galatians says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. A lot of people say, I have faith. Oh yeah, I got faith. What do you have faith in? Oh, I got faith in myself. I got faith in, you know, my bank account. You should see it. I'm like, really? What's your faith? If your faith is not in the Son of the living God, you have no faith. You have no true faith. And it says, whom loved me And did what? Gave himself for me. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the what? Righteousness of God. Is that not amazing? It just blows my mind that we are considered the righteousness of God. But let's see, how did we get there? Did we work that way? Did we think our, renew our mind until we become perfect? And I'm telling you, you can go and you can search for all these programs and 12-step programs to, you know, get your, think positive. You are what you think. You are what you think. And you go around and you just live your life by this protocol. And then one day you blow it, and then you go, oh my God, I blew it. I got to go back to step one. And Jesus says, you never blew it. And when you did blow it, I knew you were going to blow it, and I picked you back up. And we'll see this in this verse here as we're closing out. Jesus' prayer for us, and I wanted to write this down in John 17. Did you know Jesus prayed for us? Jesus prayed for us believers specifically before he went to the cross. He said, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. How did we keep his word? To believe on his only begotten son. That's how we kept his word. We believed. And he says, now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's a powerful prayer. And if you ever start feeling like you're lost and confused, go read John 17 when Jesus prayed for us 2,000 years ago. All the believers, that we will be kept and that we will be one, even as he and the Father are one. And it's a big encouragement on the renewed mind. Therefore, 2 Peter says this, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. Notice he doesn't say lose your secure position. It's impossible to lose your salvation. But we can fall, and we do, and we can fall from your spirit, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we need to understand, guys, we have a new mind. We're going to battle. The battle's going to still be there. But we can walk in the newness of life, or we can look over there and get involved in the affairs of the world and get all bent out of shape and worried and anxiety. And we have to keep in the word. We have to keep our focus on him. And when we're looking inward, we're always going to err. And I've given this analogy before, but it's like the Great Salt Lake. The Great Salt Lake. What lives in it? Nothing. Well, the Dead Sea in Israel. What lives in that sea? Nothing. Why? Well, the scientific explanation is too salty. Well, why is it too salty? Because all the mountains and all the rivers and the creeks that flow down into it take in all the water. And it's an inward lake. It takes and takes and takes, and there's no outlet. There's no outlet. It just takes and takes and takes and takes till it kills itself. We were created to go and bring light into the world. We're the only light that's in the world. We're the only ones. And he said, don't take your lamp and hide it under a bed. Put it up on a lampstand where people can see. And people can see around and see, hey, this is, you know, and the ones that are of the dark are going to run from the light. Let them run. But be that light. Be that light in the world. Be that encouragement for somebody. When we're having problems, when we're having issues, and we all do. And it seems like lately it's just been fights everywhere. Fights among everybody, everything, everywhere. Politics, world, conflict. And it just seems to be getting worse and worse. So we kind of feel it in the air. It's kind of like, what's going to happen next? Any minute, World War III could start. Any minute. And all it's going to take is that one little straw that broke the camel's back to send this world into pure chaos and hell. But we have a future and we have a hope because we know his promises. And that's what we stand on today. We have that renewed mind that we can know that whatever's going on around us, he's working it out. And he's going to work it out according to his purpose and to his glory. And we're a part of that. And we are his righteousness because he has made us righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this word and encourage us, Lord, as we go forward today to walk in that new mind that you have given us. Lord, there's so many that don't have the mind that you've given us, and so many that cannot see the error of their ways, and so many that think they have the mind and they don't, and think they know you and don't. And Lord, just let us encourage ones around us. Let us be kind and compassionate and show mercy and grace as you have shown us. And Lord, we just thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ. Without him, we would be nothing. This world would be nothing. So we lift him up. We magnify his name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give him glory forever and praise forevermore. Hallelujah to the King. In Jesus' name, amen.